Let's pray first. Wow, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be here. We thank you so much for your Spirit, Father, that gives us new life. Thank you for fellowship with you. Thank you for your promises that you never leave or forsake us. Father, we just pray tonight that you speak tonight to our hearts, that you encourage us and build us up in Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's beautiful. Like just as Mark brought out in 1 Corinthians, like chapter 2. Like there, Paul is saying, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I just like, that's who we are in our natural. Like we're very fearful, we're very weak, and we tremble about everything. But then he says, but in demonstration on the Spirit and of power. But God gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us a new life so we can be something else than that. So that's a bit fits in the message today. But first I'm going to tell a little joke. I'm not a good joke teller, so if I get one laughter, I'm happy. So there was a man, and he was like, since a little child, I'm afraid that something is under my bed. And now I'm a grown man, and still when I go to bed, I'm afraid something is under there. So I don't know what to do. So he goes to a psychiatrist. He says, like, yeah, I have this fear, and I think I'm getting crazy. Like, each night I'm afraid something is under my bed. The psychiatrist says, yeah, that's deep trouble. So you maybe come 3 times a week, and we will talk about it. We work on it for 1 year. And I think in 1 year you should be healed. It's like 3 times a week. How much does it cost? It's $80 a session. He was like, wow, I have to think about that. So he goes, half a year later, he never goes to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist walks on the street and sees the man again. It's like, what happened? You never came back. He was like, oh, I went to a bartender. He only charged me $10, but I'm healed now. The psychiatrist, what? A bartender? He's like, yeah, that was way too much money. For $10, I got healed. Yeah, what happened? What did he do? He just told me, cut off the legs of your bed. And nothing is under there anymore. I got more than one. Good. I like that one. So.
Can't wait to get home.
Yeah. That's why I sleep on the ground. No, but just so the topic today, what I thought about, or topic, it's in our nature, in our hearts, it's fear or being afraid. And I think we have to understand in our we all have the tendency to do that. We all have the tendency when something happens, we are afraid or fearful. And just for a picture quick, so God gave us the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit in us, but we also have our mind, our thinking. And I think the Holy Spirit and the mind are deeply connected. Like it transformed us by the renewing of our mind. And it's also in brings back remembrance into our mind, the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit and the mind, and the Spirit also the Word of God, if the mind is connected with the Spirit, we think with God. We think things true. We experience His presence. But as we all know, we can very quickly be detached. Like something happens in my life, and the first thing my thoughts go like, oh no, that's afraid. What's going to happen with that? And I'm thinking according to the circumstances, and I detach myself from the Word of God and from the Spirit in me in a way. Of course, the Spirit is always here, but I attach myself, and the Spirit is like, I'm here. I'm your comforter. I want to help you. Come unto me, Jesus says, and learn from me. I want to teach you. But our thoughts detach ourselves from that and are related to the circumstances around us. And when we think about, like, fear, like, did Jesus Christ, did he have any fear? Did he have any worries? When problems come, Christ, he knows already the answer. Christ has perfect peace. He has no fear. So fear is not something from God that is given to us. I mean, we know in 1 John, like, perfect love casts out all fear. So God is love. There is no fear in God. So fear is something from us. And we know it from the fall, like it happened very early. Like when they were eating the fruit, what did Adam say? Oh, I hid myself, I was afraid because I was naked. soon after the fall, fear come in. And fear is something that I think even subconsciously is really controlling us a lot that we maybe not even so much aware of. Like there's many different kind of fears that can control us. But the question, and that's kind of what we talk about, just we maybe go in more detail, but the message more like, who do we relate to in our fear? Do I relate to myself, to my nature and to circumstances? Or do I relate to Christ, to the Spirit, to the Word in that situation? That's for me, who do I relate to in that? So, like there is, and especially in this life, like there is so much stuff. Like so much stuff our mind can be related to. Like work, oh man, okay, what I have to do, all of that. Okay, I have to check that. Oh, my family, my kids, is everything going well there? And everything, there's so much stuff that my mind can be connected to, but it doesn't bring Christ into it. Like so many times I feel like, and it happens to me, like I'm at work, and it's like, man, for the last 4 hours, I didn't even was thinking about like praying and communing with God. And I was doing all these things. I kind of detached from the Spirit. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Like every thought, it says in the word, bring into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. Like that's a, like, wow. Every thought, is it connected with God, with the Spirit? Am I in the Spirit? Every thought. And we know we mess up with that. And I want to read a few stories. The first one that we're all familiar with, it's in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23. And it's from the King James Version. It's the calming there. So, and when he was entered into the ship, that speaks about Jesus, his disciples followed him. I mean, that's already a beautiful thing. Like, what's a disciple? Like, he follows Christ. What the disciples do, they're just, okay, Jesus goes in the ship, we follow him, whatever Jesus does. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, in so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Like, just Christ, somehow it says, we are in this world, but not of this world. And I think this is, like, so beautiful. Christ is in this world. He's attached to us believers, but in a way, it's like, detached, like he doesn't have this fear that we have. He's not like, oh wow, big circumstances are coming, like, oh, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. He's sleeping, he's resting. And I think that can give us so much comfort to know that's who Christ is. I'm in big trouble, but Christ, he's resting in this situation. He's not like, I know we many times do it, I'm anxious, I have problems, I go to a person who can relate to me so we can be anxious together. Well, what does it bring? Nothing. But when we come to Christ, it's like, he's not anxious. He's not worried. That's the most beautiful when, like, as a child, when you're, like, so scared and you're afraid, and you just go to your dad and you look, man, my dad is not afraid. He got me. He knows what's going on. And I think for us to know that Christ is that person that we can go to. So he was sleeping. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And I think this is why when the external circumstances, really, they go deep into our skin. Like some things we maybe can talk about, like, yeah, that's not going so good. But when something really goes deep, it's like, man, that hits home. Like, I don't know how to deal with that. Like, it really goes deep. We really like, God, help us. I don't know what to do. Like, it hits deep. And what does he say? Like, first of all, like, where is our mind now connected? Does it go to God, or is our mind focused on the fear and our circumstances, what is going on? It's connected to that. That is what I believe at the moment. I think I believe these circumstances are too much for me. In a way, it's true, but at the same time, I don't bring Christ into it. I look at the circumstance, and that's what I believe and think about. And then Christ says this beautiful verse, and he says unto them, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? And like we can easily in our mind give explanation, don't you see what's going on? I don't know, maybe like, don't you see all these people are judging me? Or don't you see that I just lost my job and I don't know how to provide for my family at the moment? Don't you see the election, what happened, God? Of course I'm fearful. Don't you see it? And he's like, wait, why are you fearful? You of little faith, why are you fearful? Like, I'm in the boat with you. I'm here in the boat. Guys, like, we always hear, and I say many times, like, people go to troubles in the world, and we're like, I don't know how they can handle that without God. But it seems almost like a small thing. Like, I don't know how Americans can live without Swiss cheese. But, like, how can it without? We have God. We have Christ with us in the boat. And just to really be encouraged, God is with us. I have big problems. I don't know how to do it. But, like, God, we're in this trouble. But Jesus, you're with me. Jesus, you know the answer. Jesus, you have the Spirit who can give me strength. Jesus, I have you with me. Like, Jesus is with us. Like, I don't know. I think sometimes we forget about that. Like, I go to work, do ordinary things, like Dave shared. I'm afraid of ordinary days. But, like, I have Christ with me in my ordinary day. That's an extraordinary day. That's not an ordinary day. I have Christ with me. He can encourage me to just give one word to a brother or a sister or speak to a lost person or just once comfort me. Like, that is amazing. Why are you fearful? You have Christ with you. Like, yeah. And then, like, for fear, like, there's many fears that we can have, not just about the scary things under our bed, or, like, for me, of snakes or height, but, like, there's maybe fear of inadequacy, like, I'm not enough. Like, uncertainty, what's going to happen with our country now? Like, I don't know. Fear of failure. Fear of being rejected by other people. We talked about on Saturday with our cell phone always on, fear of missing out. Oh, what if I miss an important text? What if something happens in the news and I don't know about it? I can't talk with my friends about it. Like, fear of missing out. Fear of change. Like, that can happen. Like, things are changing now in our country and I'm fearful of that. Fear of not having control. Like, that's just fear of being judged by people. Many things. And I think God always, in a way, has the same answer. Like, fear of inadequacy, like, not being good enough. We know the example came first to my mind of Moses. God calls Moses and say, I call you. You go back to Egypt and you get these people out. And what did Moses say? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel? Who am I? I'm not good enough. Like, I don't have anything. What is God's answer in Exodus 3:12? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. Like, just simple, yeah. If you go in your mind and think about who you are, separate, detached from me, of course you're nothing. But God always says, come back, attach yourself to me again, who I say I am. And what I will do, and when we attach to again who God is, that's the answer to the fear of like not being good enough. Of course, we just read it before. Paul even said, I'm weak, I'm fearful, I'm trembling. But in the spirit, wow, there is new life. So, and like the fear of being judged, the one example came to my mind. We know where Jesus went to the Pharisees. And the one woman came in, and she was known as a big sinner. And she took the alabaster ointment, and she poured Jesus with her feet and was weeping on his feet. But just to think about, she goes in there. She knows all the people in that room, all the Pharisees. Like at that time, even like, we're not going to touch this woman. This is a known sinner. Maybe she was a prostitute or whatever, but we're not going to touch her. Stay away from her. She knows everybody's going to touch her. But she goes, she's with Jesus, and Jesus uses her as a beautiful example about forgiveness. But at the end, he says to her, you are forgiven. So she could be detached and like, I'm afraid they're all going to judge me. Or she can attach to God's truth. I am forgiven. I'm forgiven. God, all my sins I'm forgiven. Who is forgiven my loves much? Well, I love you, God. And that connection to God's truth, God's love. I'm not afraid if they're going to judge me or not. I'm going to be on his feet and worship him. And I'm going to do whatever he asks me to do. I don't care about them. So attached again to God's love. And like we are so long. Like there's the one verse that in Romans 8, 5. It's 8:15, sorry. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Like the fear holds us in a bondage. And God says, you are free from this bondage of these fears. And how? Because I adopted you. I'm your father now. I'm your father now. Again, the example of the child. When my kids, they come screaming in, sometimes at night they wake up at a bad room. I hope their room is not bad. No, a bad dream. But then they come to daddy's room. Can we sleep with you? Okay, hop in my bed. Everything is good again. And that's just to really realize, wow, Abba. Like that person, like we have Abba. You're my daddy now, like. I don't know about you, but just to really take time, like the God who created that universe. So powerful, so holy, like one sin, it's like you can't enter heaven with sin. This is perfect. This is a holy place. I'm a holy God. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. You can call me Abba. How did this work together? But he is for us now. His holiness that before brought us into fear. Like, God, I'm hiding. I sinned against you. Guilt is in me. No more condemnation. You are justified. You can come to me. I'm your Abba now. Like, this is amazing. And this is for all of our fears, the answer, our relationship with God. Everything in our life all depends on that. Who is God to me? What is my relationship to him? When I have fear, I'm not looking at the circumstance. I go like, okay, God, you have to help me here. I have a fear. That's not of you. So what's in our relationship? I'm not focused on the circumstance and try to figure myself out like the world tells you. I have to do that and that against fear. No, I go to God. In God is no fear. So I have to get with him and to receive from him. And in Hebrews 2:15, it says, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And in one, it speaks of our natural death. But what are we so afraid of death? Or in the world, what are the people afraid of death? One is maybe the pain that brings us there, a pain that nobody wants. One is the uncertainty. They may be like, I don't know what's going to happen afterwards. Like some people say there's a paradise. Some people say I'm a worm. Like, I don't know what happens afterwards. When I'm really in that moment, that's scary. And I'm like, I have no idea what happens afterwards. And also, like, I don't have any control over it. It could happen today. It could happen in 20 years. I'm out of control. I'm afraid of that. It's a fear of bondage. But I think spiritually speaking, Christ said we are crucified with Christ. He who loses his life finds it. Like, Paul said, I die daily. We have to die to ourselves. to my understanding of what I think reality is, to my understanding who God is, I'm not like making up who God is. God tells me who he is. And so dying to self, it can be in a way, why are we afraid to do it? Because sometimes it is maybe painful. Because it's like my pride has to go down. And maybe sometimes that hurts a bit. Sometimes it's like uncertain. Yeah, but I'm so used to doing things this way, my way. And I should give that up. Like, I don't know how it's going to work out afterwards. Like, God, do you really have an answer? Like, I know I trust you, but help my unbelief. Like, there is some uncertainty in that. And just the dying to self, the fear of us to really like, okay, am I really believe I'm crucified with Christ? It's not my life anymore, but you, Christ. Like, I really like, it's not about me. I'm dying to self. And I think that's a big one. And that's still like something that Satan, everything wants to keep us in bondage. Like, oh, it's your life. It's what you think is true. But no, die to that. And like one thing, when Jesus was in the garden, Gethsemane, and he was facing much greater than we could ever face. But the decision in a way was the same that we sometimes have to face, where he prayed and says, not my will, but your will be done. And that's, I think, the cross in a way, like, not my will, but your will be done. Not my fear, Lord, but your love will conquer. What you say, Father, about it. And so, but the interesting thing, when Jesus was there in the garden, and he was like sweating blood, and it was, I don't know, I mean, I think it's one of the most intense moments in history of this world, where Christ is in this garden and like, oh, I'm going to be connected to sin. I received the wrath of God. Like, everything in me is so, I hate that, but God, I know it has to be done. And I know you have a plan. We have a plan. It's good. But you know what even came to him? And an angel came and ministered to him and strengthened him, it says in Luke. So that's the body here. We all have to go to the cross. And sometimes it's like, man, that feels so hard. I don't want to do that. Hey, God is with you. God will bring resurrection life out of it. Hey, the word says that. Come on, let's do it. I know it hurts, but let's do it. And that's what the angel did. Even Christ needed that. Even Christ had an angel who ministered to him. So we need each other to minister to each other. This when we, and not minister to the like, it's okay, just be fearful of that. Let's run away. No, we minister to each other. Okay, let's go to the cross. Let's keep going. And even if it hurts, even when we're afraid, let's go. Because there's Christ. He's with you. He's give you strength. We don't have Christ in us to have an ordinary life. We have Christ in us that we can face our fears, that we can face struggles. That's why Christ is here. And that's what Paul understood. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Like, I get to know God, the power of his resurrection. But I have fellowship with his suffering. I'm changed into his death. That's the way the cross works in us. And just for closing, for us, if we're not encouraged, like this is really just to encourage us to know, like, wow. Other people don't, but we have Jesus. We have Jesus with us, like, and he's alive. As he is, so are we in this world. Like, wow, it's amazing. So for ending, if you want to open to 1 Peter 1:3. And just, we're going to have troubles in this world. Like Christ said, in this world you have tribulation. Now, do I focus on that or do I focus on the next part? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So in this world we have trouble, but even something greater is awaiting us. And so we're going to read a few verses and end there. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 starting, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you." I take that for you, that's reserved for me in heaven. Wow. Everything here on the earth corrupts, it's defiled with sin, it fades away, but in heaven, wow, perfection, reserved for you. And how are you kept? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And I love this, wherein you greatly rejoice. Sometimes, I know in America we have all these things, but sometimes I think we rejoice and focus so much on this earthly. Well, where is our great rejoicing? Here. Like David brought up, the first century Christian, where was their focus on? Like, why do we preach the gospel? Because there is a heaven waiting for us. That's a reality, which is perfect, waiting for us. Wow, wherein you greatly rejoice. But now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And like we all have our small struggles, but when I think about Adana, what she's going through, and other people, like, it breaks your heart. You weep with them. They're in heaviness. That is heavy. Heaviness. Manifold temptations. That is big struggles, but it's for the trial of your faith. But we have to understand what they're going through. It's heavy and it's hard, but it's much more precious than gold that perishes. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory unto the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Who is it about? About Christ. They go through all these trials, but their faith, the Spirit helps them. The faith is tested. The faith is strengthened and purified. And they see Christ, whom they love. Like I always say, people, what is this life about? Having good life or whatever? No, it's all about your relationship with Christ. You look to trials different because trials change your relationship with Christ, and that's what it's all about. And we see him. Now, we have not seen him, but we love him. And in whom, though you see him not, you believe. This is a miracle by itself. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. Like they were there in the boat, and what did they do? Christ came. Said to the wind, be still. And they're like, what man is that? Who is this man? Wow. And that's what when we draw to Christ, sometimes he maybe stops the storm immediately. Sometimes maybe bring it through. But at the end, if we really draw close to him, we're like, wow, Jesus. Wow, who are you? Like, wow, I love you. I'm with joy because I get to know you more. Wow. So just be encouraged in that. Like we have Christ, fears. Wow, there's a lot of fear. But we have fear if we're confused. It's not of God. It's not of God. And Christ is with us in it. So, amen. So, Father, we just praise you and we thank you so much, Father. And you know we're forgetful people. And you know our mind easily can wander, Father. Our mind easily can respond to our circumstances. But thank you for giving us the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for dying for us, Lord. So it's just our fellowship in receiving and acknowledging that death, Father. Help us to not be afraid, Father. We have nothing to fear with you on our side. Lord, just help our mind, our heart be set on you. And help us to be excited and encourage what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.